Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gathering together this morning unto you, Lord. Thank you for inhabiting our places. How do we know? Because the scripture says so. The way we know anything is because the Lord says so. Blessed be your name, O Lord. Thank you for your glory falling upon every one of us, even as we are sitting down here, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We worship and we adore you, Lord. Now, as we open your word this morning to read it, Father, bless the reading of your word. Father, in Jesus' name, our Lord, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. This morning, the priceless blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The priceless blood of our Lord Jesus. You can't put a price to it. Nothing in this world. All of the world without, they can't match anything. Priceless, precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Where? In the heavens above. Or go down beneath. Even in the whole wide world in which we are living today, there is no atonement for sin except through the blood. And even back in the Garden of Eden, the action of our first parents read like this in Genesis 3:7. And the eyes of them were both opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. You know, so it's a type, you know, of what man will do when he's a sinner and so on, find his own religion. Religion is a cover, isn't it, you know? So find his own covering. Instead of looking to God, they now quickly make fig leaves. That's a kind of a religion, you know, of their own making, you know, and it's all over the world today. They think they can save themselves, you know, and not looking at what God has provided. God won't provide the way of salvation. They don't look at that happening today and so on, right from the beginning and so forth. So, but God, in his mercy, intervened, made them coats of skins, which must have come from what? From the shedding of the blood of some animal. Right from the beginning and so on, the blood, right? Talking about the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. God began to type it from the beginning. So we see in Genesis 3:21, what did God do? And unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. So he got them away from their own religion. And that's what God started to get before this world to see. That only the blood of Jesus Christ can, you know, that salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Get them from their own religion and their own making, and so they can never save himself. Man can never save himself. So we see that their God is a foundation right there. So it's all with the blood for the atonement from the beginning and so forth. And we know that the fruit of the ground of Cain was rejected, while the blood offering of Abel was accepted of the Lord. Genesis 4:3 says, and in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. He was religious too, you know. That half many religions today, he think he was serving God too. And he was religious. Like we have many people today who are all kind of religious out there and so on. But what's the difference? Now in verse 4, and Abel, he also, you see that, you see the word also, people say we are serving God, and so on. There are all kinds, there are two group of people, right? And Abel also, you know, brought of the firstling of his flock, and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel, and to his offering. And he made it to the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews 11:4, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being there, yes, speak. So we see that idea. What was the difference, you know? One, they were all having God, they all go to church and so on, that, you know. What is the difference? You know, in the revelation. One had the revelation of the blood. It has to be blood sacrifice, a blood offering. That is the difference. The other one, he was sincere. He made an offering. He was sincere, you know. So there are many sincere people today, but are sincerely wrong, because you can't see, you don't see the revelation of God and see the provided way that God has made for salvation for man, so they are wrong and they are so called offering, very rejected. So right from the beginning, it's always the blood sacrifice and the atonement and so on. From that time, in the Garden of Eden, until this very day, there has never been one single case of atonement for sin without the shedding of blood. Even back into the Hebrew religion, and so in the children of Israel, God gave the children of Israel the law, which was to separate them from all other peoples of the earth. That was the purpose of the law. Separate them from all other peoples of the earth. It was to make them a peculiar people, God promised them, on whom God could bestow unusual blessings. And it was on the basis of the blood covenant that God gave these promises to the children of Israel. What happened? The covenant was the center around which all of Israel's life revolved. The blood covenant. Around that covenant, all their life was centered upon and so on. After giving the law, what happened to the law? The law was broken, as we all know from the Bible and so on. And what happened? There needed to be a priesthood became imperative at that time because they had broken the law. So there had never been a divinely appointed priesthood until that time, on the earth and so on. But God now appointed the priesthood and the high priest for them. So with the when the priest was given, then the atonement offering was also given. So with the priesthood, then there's an atonement offering. Now God appointed a special sacrifice in which the blood was to cover the broken law and cover spiritually dead Israel so that God could do it in their midst. So even right from the beginning, we see that there. So there is a bloodshed, a blood offering, the atonement to cover the sins of the people back in the Hebrew religion, back at the beginning and so forth. So once a year, the high priest enter into the Holy of Holies to make the yearly atonement. Talking about the blood, the very priceless blood of Jesus Christ this morning, God went to the beginning, there always be a blood atonement and so on that right from the beginning and so on that So once a year in the Hebrew religion, the high priest will go to the Holy of Holies once in a year and so forth to make an atonement. Not only for the people, but for himself first, So the word atonement in the Hebrew means to cover. That's what it means. Means to cover. And God gave it because of the life that was in the blood, And that life in the blood served as a covering for spiritually dead Israel. It's broken law also. And Israel's unfitness to stand uncover in the presence of God. They couldn't stand before God anymore, without condemnation and so on like that, So we see that there. So that atonement was a covering. So the Bible says and so on like that, So and Leviticus 17:11 says this: for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul. That's where I got the word atonement from, for your soul. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. So in all of the types of priesthood we see in the Old Testament, all of it, there was never any system or method of atonement offered to them except the shedding of blood. All this is preparation to get you to the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God gave them as a type. In the Old Testament, there was a type of which Christ, as far as we know, there was a type of which Christ was the antitype. Don't forget that message on type of antitype, right? Every New Testament truth has something in the Old Testament that type it and some of that, Anyway, this was a type of which Christ was the antitype. For as the Lamb of God, his precious blood was shed upon Calvary, and gave his life for the sins of the human race. So the yearly atonement or covering, like I said before, made by the high priest in the old covenant did not take away sins at all. It merely covered it. So he couldn't take away sin. Bible says, I'm going to read it to you right quickly. So he had to come every year. He couldn't take away their sin, just covered for 1 year, right? That is in Hebrews 10:1. Let's look at that. Hebrews 10:1. For the law, having a shadow, see, it's a shadow of good things to come, and not the very things, not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. Couldn't do it. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. That should be what should have been accomplished. They couldn't do it. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sin every year. For it is not possible, the Bible says, that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. So what is it then? The yearly atonement did not give eternal life. Couldn't do it. That yearly atonement couldn't restore back what Adam lost. Couldn't do it. See? What did Adam lose? What did they lose in the beginning? So the day you eat of this, you will die, right? That's what happened to them, right? So those yearly couldn't restore back eternal life. Couldn't do it. So I couldn't give them a new birth. No? Couldn't do it and something like that, you know. It only promised one, pointing to one to come. It did not give them fellowship again with God as it should be. It gave a type of it though. It gave protection to Israel, yes, physical protection to Israel, as a nation. It met their physical needs. For example, it gave them healing when they were sick. It was their provider and protector. But never gave them eternal life at all, you know. So you have to do that thing every year. So the atonement under the law was a shadow. The Bible tells us a shadow, as the scripture has told us. The blood of bulls and goats did not cleanse the conscience, did not take away sin consciousness from the man, from them. What is the inference of that? That means that there has to be a sacrifice that will take away sin consciousness from people. And that couldn't do it, right? So there is something that has to be able to do it and take away sin consciousness from people, and not just to cover it, but to take it away, you know, permanently and something like that, you know. So yeah, there is one. And then what is it? The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the one. I can say that one and so on. So because in Hebrews 9:13, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience. You see that one? Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. What the evil people couldn't do. They do it every year, couldn't do it and so on, that, you know. But the blood of Jesus Christ was designed by God himself, not only to forgive sin, but to destroy the conscience of sin, the heart of man. See? So when we came to Christ, what happened to us as sinners? When we came to him and took him as our Savior, confessed him as our Lord, what happened to us? Our sins were remitted. It was a remission, not covered. Not an atonement. No. It was remitted. That happened to us at that time. Whether the Christian knows today or not, whether they have it or not, it doesn't matter. That is what God did. Bible says that blood should take away the consciousness of sin. You know, but not all Christians understand this. I don't know that, you know. So anyway, all that we have ever done before you were saved were wiped out when you received Christ. That's what the Bible says. As though they had never been. Tell me one Christian who has never been tormented or where I went was tormented, who has never been remembered or reminded by the devil of the thing you have done before you were saved. Tell me one Christian who I won't find, even the greatest of all Christians, you know. Satan will come along and so on. How many people are falling under Satan's deception by telling them, even to the extent demanding them of what they have done before they were saved, that they backslid and get away from the Lord. Many stories have happened like that, I'm sure. They couldn't overcome it. They couldn't see the revelation as, look, their sins were remitted. Then another way is forgiveness. There are two different things, you know. Remission and then forgiveness. Remission means that God take them away completely, wipe them out as if they have never been, and so on that, you know. And so on that, you know. So we see. So, and Christian ought not to be like this. We have to get the life of the scripture on these things and so on. So like I say, many Christians always have the consciousness of sin because of where they are ignorant of the scripture. In the new birth, all that we have ever been, thought, been, they are gone. And a new creation takes place. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, which we know in our head all the time. Do we know all the implication of that scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:17? Do we know the implication of it? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. See? And more about this remission and this being remitted. And in Acts 3:19, when the miracle at the beautiful gate, Brother Peter talking to the Jews and so on, that you know, hear what he says now. Repent, Acts 3:19. Repent, ye therefore, and be converted. See, at conversion, what happened at conversion? That your sins may be blotted out. When you are saved, that's what happened to you. The sins were blotted out, you see, remitted, as if they never happened before. So that what is telling them right here. So in Hebrews 10:17, talking to the Jews, talking about the Jews and so on, God is saying that he will give them a new covenant that you and I have, you know. He will win them away from all those jealousy and so that, you know, we will away from them. What do we do for them? He will give them what you and I have today, which we are not making use as we should. What was it? It says Hebrews 10:17-18. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. You can read the whole chapter for yourself. You know? Now, we are remission of this. That's what remission there. We are remission of this is there is no more offering for sin. Done. See? So that's what we do for the Jews. But you are not happy today. Let us make use of it. Whatever you do before you are saved, Satan come and tell you anything, just tell him, get him behind you, Satan. So, God doesn't remember them anymore. Why do you remember what God, you know, what has forgotten and so on? So, now, what do you do now in your Christian life? Knowing that before you came to the law, and when you received the Christ, all your past have been wiped out, whatever you did, God doesn't remember them anymore. What do? Do we still commit sin sometimes? Yeah, you know, in a way. Yes or no? Do we still commit sin? Yes or no? Bible says they cannot sin, right? What? How does that be? Because when a child of God truly sins, if he committed sin, we have an advocate with the Father, right? Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins. See? So, a child of God, when he sins, he repents. Sinning as a Christian means that you break fellowship with the Father, right? And he doesn't make us to be his son anymore. No more than if an husband and wife quarrel, doesn't mean that the wife the relationship is still there, right? That's the husband and wife, right? Until somebody say, okay, I'm sorry, and so that, you know. So the same thing. So as soon as the child of God repents, these are all in 1 John chapter 1 and 2 about forgiveness, right? They are different for remission. Your sins were remitted when you came to Christ. That you won't remember any of those things anymore, you know. So we see. Anyway, on the ground of the relationship you have with the Lord, with God, and the Lord Jesus' ministry at the right hand of the Father, there is ground for forgiveness for any sin that a Christian commits. See? Like I said, the first and second chapters of the first John tell a whole lot about that. I think everybody should read that place often. At times, if I was struggling with sin or what to do with them, to go in there and so on. In summary, what I'm saying is this. Remission of sins occurred at conversion. When you receive Christ, all your past is blotted out, all things become new. I don't care what the sin was, you know, it was gone. See? Forgiveness of sin takes place during your Christian life, your fellowship, you know, with the Lord. So you repent. And where? Do we now continue to sin, that grace may abound, God forbid. Christ is not the author of sin. Amen. Praise the Lord. Bible says he cannot sin. His seed is in him. It's right there. Say he cannot sin. His seed is in him. Because when the child of God sins, he knows you break fellowship, right? But when they connect to the Lord and so on. And the Bible says it's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He forgive, right? And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that's how it works with God. That's the plan of redemption. And so enjoy your friendship with the Lord. Don't let him come and tag you with any kind of a sin you've done before you are saved. Anything like that, don't do it. You don't do it to many Christians. No. Now, the child of God should stand before God, the Father, without any condemnation. How many times? You know, Satan will accuse you of this. Accuse you of the brethren, right? But when you know your right, you can stand upon the word of God. Romans 8 says this. Verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. See? That's the law you are operating in now in Christ, right? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. He that had a son has life, right? See? So that's where you are at, you know? So for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, and condemned sin in the flesh. What blessing you as a child of God should be enjoying in all of his fullness, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, just a kind of a background to get into the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, I want to name a few things of the benefits of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ from the scripture, you know, that, so let me see. Now, we have peace through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in heart or things in heaven. So we have peace with God through the blood of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The precious blood, the precious blood. The Bible distinctly tells us that before we were born again, we have been at enmity with God. Any man who is not born again is still an enmity with God, whether he knows it or not. He could be a church goer, he could sing in a choir, doesn't make a difference. If not, he washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, he's in enmity with God. Like Cain was a religious person, right? You know, he make an offering, right? So anyway, so he takes the blood of the Lamb, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to quench that enmity. Ephesians 2:12. That at that time, before you were born again, you are without Christ, being aliens for the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in this world. If you don't have Christ, you don't have God. I don't care how, whatever you are doing, you know. Not to have Christ, not to have God. He that had the Son has life. He that had not the Son of God has no life in him, right? So anyway, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by what? By the blood of Christ. That's the only way you can come to God. See? By the blood of Christ. So the precious, priceless blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us not be of them who have made the power of that blood of none effect in their life. Don't do that. Let us, value it. It's priceless. It's precious. You know, what he has done for us and some of that, you know. Especially if you are taking full advantage of what that blood has done for me and you. So, as children of God now, we become friends of God like Abraham was. Abraham was a type of the elect, and the Lord has said to us in many places in John 15, not that you are a child of God. We see many times we see as God as a taskmaster who hold a big stick, just make a small mistake, boom, that's the God we are serving. No. John 15:4. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father have I made known unto you. So let us, he's our Father, he's our Savior, our Redeemer, and our friend. That's what he is to us. It is through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that we have been reconciled to God, and we have peace. Romans 5:1. Many things that the blood has done for us, I can never cover what the blood of the Lord has done for us, but I want to go through many of them. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I like Ephesians 2:14, where I say, for he is our peace. The Lord Jesus is our peace. In a world of worry and nerves, right? You have Christ in you, he's our peace. There are two types of peace here. Even having peace with God, that you are a child of God, you have confidence that if you come today, you're going to go up with him and say, that's one peace. And peace, even with the troubled world, right? And he says, peace I live with you, right? My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. And when I know that he is my peace, Ephesians 2:14, like I told you, I mean, my joy is full, amen? No matter what the struggle is, you know, that's a tranquilizer for me. Jesus is my peace, you know. It's my joy. My joy I live with you. See? He says that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. So don't be proud of yourself, of your money, and things come to us and some of that, you know. So grant that joy. And he wants your joy to be full. You are not pleasing God by not having your joy full, you know. You know, so he wants your joy to be full. He wants my joy to be full. And he called it his own joy. People can have their own joy. That's the joy of the Lord, right? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen? Praise the Lord. So you can make up the joy of your own, but that's the joy of the Lord. There are all kinds of peace. That is the peace of God. The one which passes all understanding. Amen? Can't be understood. Because people can't. You think you are crazy. In the midst of catastrophe, you are able to sing. You are able to say praise the Lord. You know? Because of the peace of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, more about the blood of Jesus. We can't cover all that he does for us. It's just impossible in one service. We were purchased by the blood of God. That's in Acts 20:28. Let me read that one quickly. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. That chapter is just a place where Brother Paul has called the elders of the church at Ephesus, which he founded, you know, and he was going to leave them, and they had to counsel them what to do with the flock and so forth, you know. So what a wonderful truth is that? That the blood of God is the blood of Jesus Christ. That established again another way the deity of Christ. That Christ and God are one. Praise the Lord. Now what he's saying to you right there? So I'm saying by the blood of God. Let me just talk a little bit about that and so on, you know. In 1 John 5:7, because that touches the deity of Christ right there. You know, when you take the scripture in a piece by piece thing, you do not see the whole picture, like a jigsaw puzzle, right? People just take one particular part of the puzzle and run with it. What happens? They don't see the whole picture. The Bible may look so read that if there are many gods, no. But when you take the whole Bible together, you cannot see three gods there, amen? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Just not there at all, you know. Anyway, 1 John 5:7. For there are three that their record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Of course, what is the Word? Bible says in the beginning was the Word, right? The Word was with God. And the Word was God, right? And the Word was made flesh. So Christ is the Word of God, right? So Bible says the three of them, they are one. So it's just a simple idea. So these three are one. Then verse 8 says, and there are three that bear record in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. So so right there we understand that the flock that is entrusted to a minister is never his own flock. We have heard people say, preachers, when many preachers, oh my people, oh my congregation, and so on. No, not your congregation. God in divine providence entrusted to you, oh minister, I can tell them all over the world, so that you know. The flock of God, the sheep of God, not young. God just put here in providence, you know, even the Lord, in many scriptures and so on, after the resurrection, to show what I'm talking about right now, after the resurrection, the Lord was talking to Peter and so on. And if you look at, I believe, you know, in after the resurrection, talking to him and so on, that in John. So he says, feed my sheep, feed my flock, he said, and so on. And after the resurrection and so on. So when he say the flock of God that he purchased with his own blood, so the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of God, he is God, he is deity. Nothing short and so on that, you know. So anyway, so the minister, not his flock, is the Lord's own flock and so on that, you know. So the congregation is God's people, the flock of the Lord Jesus Christ, the good shepherd. In John 10:11. He even says so. I am the good shepherd, he said. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 14 of John 10. I am the good shepherd, he said again. No missing it. Not the pastor's congregation. No. Not the pastor's flock, no. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. I say, he told them in Ephesians. I mean, act, feed the flock of God, right? Who you portray with his own, you know, so it is the Lord Jesus, right? And, I'm none of mine. John 21, verse 15 to 17, three times, he told Peter. Jesus said unto Simon Peter, feed my lamb, he called it one place, two times, feed my sheep. So, he is the Lord. It's God's flock and so on, that you know. Now, more about the blood of Jesus. The blood of the Lord Jesus redeemed us. Revelation 5:9. And the song, a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seat thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God, how? By thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Those are the 24 elders saying that the title book of redemption to the earth and so on, that nobody could open it. See, with 7 weeks and that nobody could open it, so only the Lamb could do it and so on. They represent, I believe, all believers. You know, they say the church and for they are, but I believe they represent all believers and so on, that, you know. So, to redeem means what? To buy back, to purchase once again. That's redemption, right? So, in this text, we have a glorious and marvelous vision of the four beasts and the 24 elders that were prostrate on their faces before the Lamb of Heaven, who is none other than the Lamb of God, who took away the sins of the world. See? Two disciples of John the Baptist and so on saying, come in, behold the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world. Praise the Lord. That's what they are talking about right here. So these people, I told you, afraid that they played their harp, the Bible says, of gold, and offered before the Lord the golden vials, which were filled with the prayers of the saints. I think that's in Revelation 5:8. I always like that. Make you want to pray all the time. Your prayers are not lost. It's answered now on her, serving a purpose now on her. It's going to serve a purpose in the future, at the judgment of the world. Amen. I don't have to go in there. Praise the Lord. Yeah, when answer is meet your need right now on earth, but even it's thought up in the future for future use. according to God, you know, what he has to do in the future with the word and the judging and some of that, you know. So anyway, the scripture says that these prayers were a sweet odor and an incense before the Lord and so on. So they were so true. This one has fought, they were so true and so on, and begin to think he has redeemed us, you know, by his blood, out of every kindred, tongue and people and nation. So that's how we know that the Lord has children in every nation of the world. Whether it is in Saudi Arabia, whether it is Iran or Iraq, whether it is in North Korea, that will say every nation, right? They may be in the bunkers, but they are there having this seed. The Lord knows those who are his. Praise the Lord. See? So he has children all over the world. So what he's saying, Satan, you are a loser. See? You know, his sheep, they know his voice, and he will not lose any of them. He even told us in one place, kind of saying 100 sheep, he left the 99 and go and look for that one, whether it's on the mountain, whatever he was, and when he found him, put upon his shoulder, right? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Doesn't care which nation they are in. Praise the Lord. Now, let's quickly go through again more about the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, now, we are justified by his blood. Many preachers like to talk about justification by faith. That is true. But the Bible takes it even further than that, you know. So we are also justified by his blood. Romans 5:9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. So, and of course, men cannot be made just until they are justified. No man can stand justified in the sight of God by any act of his own, no more than Adam and Eve can stand before God with their feet that is true to themselves and all that, you know. Nobody can do it and so on that, you know. So anyway, so no man can do it and so on that, you know, by any deed of their own, morality or whatever it is and so on. And so we see. So in Romans 4:25, very quickly, the Bible says that who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So I think one reading says he was raised again when we were declared justified. When we were declared righteous, that's when he raised for the dead and so on that, you know. So which I like that one translation also and so on. So anyway, if Christ had lived and had not died a sacrificial death, we never could have been justified in the sight of God for all eternity. Never could be. It was because we were justified, after we were justified, that he raised again from the dead. Bible says so. And so tell us that's what in our mind. Being justified by faith, yes, but even further than that, justified by his blood. So many things that the blood of the Lord Jesus does for us can't cover everything, but just take a few more. But blessed be the name of the Lord, the Lamb of God, by his precious blood, accessible to the Father, and you know, we are justified before the Father. So you can stand before the Bible says he has entered heaven for us, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Our forerunner, was a forerunner to us. Now we can appear before God. You can be in your room, can be in your car, you can be in your office. That we say we have boldness and access, right? Boldness and to the Lord Jesus Christ. Boldness, not beggarly. People think they are old, they are asking God beggarly as a Christian. No. Say, come boldly to the throne of grace. Praise that what he likes. Praise the Lord. Imagine you buy, whether your son or somebody, you buy him maybe a car or whatever, and so it's not using it and so on. Are you going to be happy? Want you to use what you are giving to you. So want you to come boldly, because you know, we are his children. Anyway, more. The blood is our admission and entrance to the glory world. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. What am I talking about? Let's see the Hebrew, what happened to them in Exodus 12, 13. So we know the sacrificial lamb at the Passover and so on. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you until the plague shall not the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you, when I smite the land of Egypt. Now, like I said, it's also a type, right? And the other type is also our Lord Jesus Christ. Think about it now. Go back to that time in your mind. So cast back your mind to that moment, you know, in Egypt, and so that night, and so what happened in there. You can see the lamb killed there. You can see the blood upon the lintel and the foot of the dog. You can see that, and so on. When that angel, the avenging angel of death came back, he wasn't looking for an Israelite. Do you know what? Was he looking for an Egyptian? Was looking for the blood, amen? Was looking for the blood, not the Israelites, not the, are you of Israel? No. He's looking for the blood. So today, I mean, no matter what anybody does and so on, it is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that, you know, that avail anything for anybody and so on, that, you know, it is the blood. So, I'm thinking that if an Egyptian had advertently overheard what was talking to the Jews and put the blood there, he would have been saved too. I believe it. But anyway, they will not be destined to do that anyway. So we see. We are sanctified with the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13. Sanctification by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13, 10. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, you see how it's been the type and the antitype there? Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood. So we are sanctified as a Christian by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Suffer without the gate, after the Jerusalem and so on, are crucified and so on, typing what has been, I mean, fulfilling what has been done before in the Hebrew religion and so on. So after the sacrificial lamb had been offered in the Old Testament, his slain body was taken outside the gate and burned. It was typical that the flesh should be consumed of that animal and so on, it should be destroyed. The answer type holds good too, like I said, for our Lord Jesus Christ suffered without the gate, that he might sanctify us with his own blood. Sanctification means what? It means death to sin. It means death to fleshly desire. That what it means? It means complete separation from the world and the things of the world. Love not the world or the things that are in the world. The things of the world, the lust of the eyes, and the lust of the flesh. See? So anyway, the blood of Jesus Christ separates us from those things, as far as you know, and our eyes, you know, are in heaven from when we look again for our Lord Jesus Christ, you know. So anyway, so sanctification, what it means. So and so now, it means complete separation from the world and the things of the world. That is another great reason why the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, is marvelously gracious and precious and priceless. Now, talking of sanctification and more about that and so on, we become one with him. By sacrificing with his blood, we become one with him, with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 2:11. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one. See? For which cause he is not ashamed to call us brethren. I mean, and the Ephesians 5:30 even tell us more plainly. For we are member of his body, of his flesh, and of his bone. Can you see? Even in John 15, I'm the true vine, and you are the branches. It just relates to us to tell us how integrated we are to him. In one place, you are planted in the palm of his hand. Even two places, they say that's one in the video. In the hand of the Father, when he went back to the Father, when he was here, in my hand, he says so in the book of John. So therefore, he said, nobody, no angel can pluck you out of his hand. One, we have to walk away from him, amen, but I will never leave you or forsake thee, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's how close we are to him and so on. Flesh of, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Now, sanctification is also also our utmost perfection. People struggle with perfection. Yeah, you can do perfection and struggle for it, but what is the ultimate perfection? What is it? It's in Hebrews 10:14. For by one offering, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. See? So that's perfection, you know. There are much features about that. That's what I like in particular, you know. Talking about perfection, right? So, sanctify us, perfected forever. That's one sacrifice. In Hebrews 13:20, talking about perfection, right? So this is how I really look at it, and so on. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, talking about the blood of Jesus Christ, right? The blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect. That's what I do for perfection, you know. I know my own, I can never be perfect, right? But through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. Even that to do his will, I still depend upon him, amen? Praise the Lord. I have to depend upon him as well. Working in you, that which is well-pleasing. See that word? No? Well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord. We do continue for all things. Bible says, his wife has made herself ready. How did he do it? She was given the resources, right? No, that bride is given the resources. Didn't have the resources of her own to do it, and so it was given to her of the Bible. Praise the Lord. Then I don't want to be digressed. Now, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. That alludes to what I told you at the beginning about the remission and forgiveness, right? This epistle is written to Christians, right? So that's right. It's written to Christians. So no matter what sin, we don't go out to sin that grace may abound, but you know it happens, right? What do? Just come to the book and something like that, you know? So, as a condition here, it's a continuous sense, right? Cleanses, right? Continuous sense, right? So, you may not get it if you don't fulfill the condition. What is the condition? Walk in the light. I see it in the light. Amen? Praise the Lord. As a condition of life, you have to walk in the light. Then we have fellowship. And walking in the light means many things. Meaning, love the children of God. Love your brethren. He that loves us, his brother or sister, is in darkness. What the Bible says in that chapter, and so on, in that book of John and so on. Even until now. So, maybe a Christian, don't love your brother or your sister. The Bible says you are in darkness until now. So maybe your sin, if you repent and walk in the light, then you are back in fellowship with God, right? These things are very, very simple, but they are very, very important in the Christian work, you know, and some of that. You know, as I said, then, God doesn't put idle things in his word. Our brother was talking earlier in the morning, or quote a verse of scripture, if you love me, keep my commandments, right? And we know that his commandments are not grievous. Praise the Lord. For your good, for my good, amen? Praise the Lord. So anyway, so no matter what, just make sure you are walking in love. You know, have fellowship with the Lord and with the brethren. So that nothing can overtake you and some of that, you know. The blood of the Lord Jesus cleans you from all of them. So now, time to write up here. I can't cover all that the blood does for us. So let's see. The blood of the Lord Jesus brings us nigh to God. Ephesians 2:13. See? But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. See? Originally, written to the Gentile church in Ephesus. But now it is applicable to all the members of the body of Christ. That's bishop. For we were all once very far away from the Lord. The Bible says, lost in the valleys of sin, until the day came when the good shepherd carried us back to the fold. That God let us call him Father, or our Father, make us feel so much closer to him, like I've been trying to say, you know. So we are drawn nigh unto God by the blood of Jesus Christ. What a wonder, what a beauty, what a wonder, you know, what a marvel it is, and some of that, you know. So we see, it has drawn us by the cause of power divine until the sweet and beautiful relationship has been established in the grace of God. No longer are we wandering around in the distant mountains, so to say, lost in darkness and despair, no need for that anymore. Through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have been brought nigh. The Holy Spirit is our guide. He will guide into your all truth, right? He told us, you do anything to us. Show you things to come, he said. Put you in remembrance of this that I have taught you. The Holy Ghost is our guide. Jesus, our Lord, is our elder brother, in one sense, yes? And God is our Heavenly Father. We know they are all one, right? The one eternal one. In all of his titles, related to us in all of the three titles, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, is right here, you know, the same one eternal God and so on. So anyway, now let me put one more, then I close the ask just to save time. So, after the rapture, the Bible said that the war in heaven, Michael and his angel will fight. And the devil and his angel will fight and so forth, as you know. And that's Revelation chapter 12. So I believe, after the rapture, like when he rose from the dead, maybe 40 days or so, he taught them many things, you know, the disciples, that he appeared many, many times after he rose from the dead for 40 days and showed them many, many things to come by the kingdom of God and all that. You know, I believe after the rapture, the Lord will groom us about many, many things. I believe thereafter is this war in heaven. I say so because Revelation 12, 5 says that the matter was cut off, right? I believe that they are in a chronological order. What happened right there? That the rapture, the cut off, then there is a war in heaven and so on. That, you know, we are going with the blood in this. Revelation 12, 7. It says, and there was, there was war in heaven. Fire. Rapture has taken place, right? As he has groomed us and so on, that, you know, in time order. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. And they prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. They were cast down. The Bible says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Talking about the blood of Jesus Christ, right? And the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. So even in that conflict, the blood of the Lamb is involved in there, you know. It was now and so today. We fight our warfare, appropriating the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even to the very end, to the casting out of the devil from the heavenlies and so forth. As you learn to do the warfare on her, then God will qualify you, I believe it is, to be among those who are going to rout the devil out of the heavenlies. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, I mean, a devil is training us even right now, as we are here and so on, in your battle with prayer and so on. Daniel had experience 21 days and so on. He didn't give up 28 days, you know, and so forth. And he won, you know, in Ephesians 6:12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And we know, speaking the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, even right now, we got deliverance from many, many kinds of sins. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So I'm going to just stop right there today. We can go infinitely about what the blood does for us. So what is it? I want you to appreciate, to appropriate, to understand, to apply, you know, all that this thing means to us and so forth, to the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, so precious, you know, and so priceless. And let us take advantage of what it means to us. So Heavenly Father, we thank you this day. Even Revelation Bible says, unto him that loved us and has washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us to be king and priest unto God. To you, Father, be glory. majesty, dominion, and honor throughout all eternity. We worship and we adore you, Lord, for what you have wrought for us, Lord. No greater love has the man than this, that he should lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, he says, he keeps my commandments. So we thank you, we are going here this morning, maybe reminded of what great advantage we have. Bible says, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means even hurt you. So we can keep on going and going on that law, help us, Lord. Let us lend our minds to the Holy Spirit to keep us in remembrance of these things, Lord. So we thank you and we worship you for laying down your life for us. And because you live, then we live also. Blessed be the name, Father, in Jesus' name, Father, we pray. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. I know it was the blood.